Welcome to F1 Debrief episode 85, Burying His Own News. Coming up on today's show, we discuss live timing, the BBC lineup, a factory tour and flag design.
So it's been a much quieter off-season this year.
Isn't it lovely?
Are you missing the racing?
Well, yes, but I'm not missing all the politics like there was last year.
Right, so no ongoing spy scandal?
No.
So with which to keep us occupied?
No. Do you know what? We even went out for dinner last week.
That
we
is
have
amazing.
Time to do stuff.
In the off-season?
Yeah.
We find some time off.
I know.
That's unheard of. Good week,
bad week. It's been a good week for Sebastian Buemi, as Dietrich Mateschitz said he would be the most likely candidate for one of the race seats at Toro Rosso. Now that Mateschitz has bought all of Toro Rosso, it's even more likely that what he says goes. That's all very well and good, but Buemi couldn't even drive the medical car without spinning it, so...
Couple of schools of thought on this one, and we're not really sure what Dietrich is doing, but is he planning to sell both teams, do you think? Is that why he's brought Toro Rosso back in? Because as a going concern on their own, they're not much use as a Formula One team. Because
like
they rely, yeah, they rely on the parent team. If he...
It wasn't much use as half a team either, so...
No.
It's good that he's got all of it.
Yes, that's true. If he brings them both together, he could sell both teams as one going concern, and somebody could buy Red Bull and the Toro Rosso team and get two teams for the price of one, and then he might get more money for it.
But we can't get people into the sport for one team. Why is everyone going to buy two?
I don't know, but I can't see the value of Toro Rosso on their own without the parent team, as they have no manufacturing capability of their own. Everything gets outsourced.
I guess, once again, it depends on how the customer car regulations turn out.
Well, we think that's almost given. Now, it is a given because Force India is a customer car, in every sense of the word other than the word customer.
It's been a bad week for Williams, as Rosberg has said he might rethink his future depending on what happens this year. Previously, he's always been very loyal to the team, but if they don't deliver, it's likely they'll lose their star driver. It'd be a big loss for them, because obviously he's got good marketing potential, brings in the big bucks, but it would be good for him, I think.
Yeah, I mean, the only other place I can see him going at the moment is Renault, but then he's not going to want to sign Flav's management contract. That's the only team I can see him fitting in. Maybe BMW might want him in the future, long term.
Yeah, he would fit at BMW, I think. It's been a good week for Webber, as he seems to be pretty optimistic about his return to F1. He spoke out saying he knows it's going to be a slow process and it will take him a few weeks to be able to walk, but once he's up and about and aided, he'll throw himself headlong into training to get back up to speed. He's hoping to be back in the car in February.
That's asking a lot of his body. But he does need car time before Australia, even if it hurts.
They are super athletic,
yes.
These F1 drivers, though, so they'd recover quicker than we would.
Yeah, he is going to have to pass a FIA medical before driving in Australia too.
Well, that's true.
So he doesn't want to push it too far.
It's been a bad week for fans of big launches, as Toyota have scaled theirs down to, well, nothing. They did have plans to launch the TF109, but now they'll just release pictures to the media online. The car and livery will be seen in the photos until it debuts out on track, which will be at the Portuguese test.
BMW have also reverted to what they did in 2006, which is just a testing launch. I like what they did last year, but I suppose it's been done once, it can't be done every single year. It looks like it's not going to be a great season for launches.
Which is weird, because last year the cars looked exactly the same as the year before.
Mm.
And you would think this year, with them looking vastly different,
yes,
they'd want to say, woo, look at our car, it's so different.
Yeah, maybe they don't want people to know how different it does look.
That's true.
Maybe they're just going to keep it all under wraps.
They don't want people to actually look at their car.
They may be a bit embarrassed about it. And I wonder if the photographs that Toyota are going to send out would just be very, very extreme close-ups of the cockpit and the steering wheel.
The pretty bits.
And the engine. Things that, you know, don't make it look awful. News
and views. There's been a lot of deals going on this week, but I think the main one is LG Electronics teaming up with F1.
Yes, that's big news.
It is.
It's been a long time since there was... They're a timing partner, aren't they?
Well, does it mean that it's going to be called LG F1 now?
No. It's not a title sponsorship. It's the technical partner, allegedly. And what it basically means is their logo is going to be on the FOM broadcast, and when the timing appears at the bottom to say some guy's ahead of another guy by a certain amount of time, the sector splits and that kind of thing, it will say LG in a little red square.
So are they actually going to fix live timing, because someone needs to?
I don't think they're going to have anything to do with it. Bernie says it's all about the technology and they're going to supply him with a load of equipment. I don't think that's the business LG are in. I mean, they're in a lot of businesses. I'm not entirely sure that they're particularly good at working out time.
Are they replacing someone?
They are taking over from Tag Heuer.
Tagger,
however they're pronounced. I'm sure someone's going to correct us on that. Tag Heuer.
Tagger.
Who bailed out after they copped a lot of flack for a timing mistake in Brazil in 2003.
Right.
When they, well, it's not entirely clear, but I thought the stewards misawarded the win to Kimi, and it turned out Fisichella had won the race in his Jordan. And it looks like
they got the blame.
Tag got a lot of blame for doing for that, and no one's really explained whether or not it was them who gave the wrong information or the stewards who misread the information they were given. But after that happened, they bailed out, and they're only involved in McLaren now. So there has been no timing sponsor for Formula One since then.
But the timing's still been happening, so really it's just about getting their name in there, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's purely branding, and it's purely more money for Bernie and CVC.
We've actually got a clip from the announcement with Bernie.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Landmark Hotel. If, like me, you're getting withdrawal symptoms after the end of the season, I've done some maths this morning. 123 days to go, and it all starts again. Obviously, 2009 is going to look somewhat different to the 2008 season, and that's why we're all here this morning, to look ahead to next year and a very exciting announcement. I know it's been kept top secret, but the eagle-eyed ones amongst us would have noticed that it might have something to do with a well-known electronics brand. So without further ado, I think we should welcome to the stage the President and CEO of Formula One Management and the Chief Marketing Officer of LG, Mr. Bernie Eccleston, alongside Mr. Dermot Bowden.
That we're going to be able to use a lot of the technology from LG in Formula One, and then hopefully the other way around, maybe you'll get something from us from that point of view.
It's a five-year arrangement, and needless to say, it's a pretty hefty investment on our behalf in our brand, and I think it's a pretty strong indication of how important we view building our brand into the future.
Now, I don't care what Bernie said, that was Jake Humphrey, and he's going to be on the BBC. How cool is that?
He sounds all right. He's getting in there early.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you, someone's got to tell Bernie to stop clicking his pen.
Yeah.
When you have a lapel mic on, because the mic is closer to the pen than your mouth.
Yeah.
That is quite annoying. He is. He's. They've obviously scheduled him in and to see how good he is.
Very cool. But we'll talk about him a bit later, I think.
Yes.
I did think it was weird that Bernie said we're going to get some stuff from them, and they're going to get something from us.
Like what?
Like, what are they going to get? Is a Formula One car?
Yeah, no, a load of sponsorship and branding so they can run LG adverts with Formula One cars in them. I wouldn't be surprised if you get a whole bunch of...
Are they allowed to use the footage?
No.
Oh.
No, what they'll get is you'll get a laptop with a Formula One car on the box. Because, you know, that proves the laptop goes really quickly.
Right.
That kind of rubbish. So that's what they'll get out of the deal. And CVC and Bernie will get loads and loads of money. And I don't think it's got anything to do with technology.
Also, in the same conference, Bernie said he was sure that the medal system thing would be in place for 2009, that all the teams were behind him, and he just had to get approval from the FIA.
Not the case, though, is it?
Well, it sounds like rubbish to me.
Yeah.
And the Times Online say Eccleston will need FIA endorsement of his idea at its World Motorsport Council meeting in Monaco next month, but he is not expected to get it. The world governing body is far from convinced that the teams are in favour of the change, as Eccleston has claimed. Even if Eccleston managed to get his proposal through, it would not be implemented until the beginning of the 2010 season at the earliest.
Right. So why is he going around spouting all this nonsense then
in front of
the world's media? Because that was a headline story from the BBC. Bernie's announcement was LG's on board.
Yeah.
Yay. And all that the BBC ran was medals are in for next year.
Yeah.
So it completely quashed his original press conference. So why is he going around saying it?
It's weird.
He's burying his own news.
So like we just mentioned, the BBC have confirmed their 2009 lineup.
And what a confirmation it was.
It looks like a brilliant bunch.
We weren't expecting the name Ted Kravitz to appear on that list, were
we? No, that was a nice
Nobody
surprise.
Nobody predicted that at all. Last week, we buried the jingle. Ted News, because we never thought we'd have any reason to ever play it again, and suddenly the BBC pulled that one out of the bag.
A lot of people get the UK coverage around the world, don't they?
Mm.
So we thought it would just be worth running through who the lineup is and why.
Please do.
They're doing
because
what they're doing.
I don't even know half the team. I have no idea who they are.
Well, the first one, I think you probably do know Coulthard.
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't
only too well.
That wasn't a surprise at all, was
no.
it? He retired from F1 this year. He's driven for Williams, McLaren and Red Bull. He's always pretty outspoken. Apparently, he's the top British scorer in F1. I didn't know that.
He's been in it for a long time.
Yeah, that's probably why, actually. He's won 13 races, although he did give several important wins to teammates. And he takes over a pundit role.
Okay.
So he's like the Mark Blundell of his time.
Okay, and he's alongside Eddie Jordan, as another pundit.
Yep, Eddie founded Jordan Grand Prix, gave Schumacher his F1 debut, sold to Midland, which became Spyker, which became Force India, and he dumped a load of concrete on one of the access roads due to non-payment for Force India.
So he knows, he's going to have
some great... So we like him too.
Well, there's going to be some great reviews when those teams go out. Yeah. What do you think of the Force India, Eddie? Wow. There's a can of worms you've just opened half an hour later. Lots of expletives and bleeping.
In the commentary box, we've got Martin Brendel. Yay. We sort of all knew that was going to happen as well. Because it couldn't not happen.
Nope.
He is also retired F1 driver, drove for Tyrrell, Zach Speed, Williams, Brabham, Benetton, Ligier, McLaren and Jordan, commentated on ITV with Murray Walker and then James Allen. Pretty much everyone wanted him to make the move.
Also retained from ITV is Mr. Ted Kravitz.
Yep, he worked in radio on Capital FM before replacing James Allen in the pit lane when Mr. Allen became a commentator. He moves to the same role on the BBC and we get to use the Ted News jingle. Yay!
Cool. Everyone's a winner.
Yeah.
Except possibly we can't afford to employ him now.
Well, that's true.
He might be out of our reach.
Yeah.
That's the people we know of.
He won't be on a side pod panel anytime soon.
Never now. That's the people we know of. Who's new to the team?
Okay, we have Jonathan Ledyard. He joined BBC Sport in 1990, presented Sunday Sport between 91 and 94, covered two Olympic Games and Ryder Cups and the Commonwealth Games. He was Five Lives motor racing correspondent doing the David Croft role, and now he's a commentator alongside Brendel. Jake Humphrey, as we heard earlier, he started in children's TV, presented Sports Round, which was a short news programme about sport.
He's going to struggle to live that down, isn't he?
I think he might. He moved up to cover some of the smaller BBC sports coverage, like the Women's World Cup and things like that. And he's going to present the Sports Personality of the Year this year.
Right, he's getting around a bit now then.
Yeah, and he is the anchor for the show. Lee McKenzie, we heard her on Five Live at the end of this season. She's the daughter of Bob McKenzie. She's presented on Sky Sports and Sky Sports News. Apparently, she also has a company looking after drivers from GP2 to World Rally.
Right.
According to Wikipedia, I can't find it anywhere else. But
okay, interesting one. I have to say that she has gone up in my estimation since they've employed Ted.
Right.
Because I didn't want her to get the job when I thought she was taking over from Ted, but now they've got her and Ted. I quite like her a lot.
Weren't you looking on her website?
I was.
And you found a show reel that you watched a couple of times.
She's great, by the way.
Even though...
Yeah.
Vicky Butler-Henderson was in it.
Well, it was quite weird because it was the two of them side by side. Mm-hmm. I think Vicky was introducing Lee, and I think I preferred Lee.
What?
Yeah. What an about turn from last week when, you know, I wasn't a fan at all.
Well, that's crazy.
Last week she was all right, wasn't really bothered. Yeah, she did an okay job. Fair enough. We'll see how she goes this week. Yay! She's wonderful.
So your favourite now.
Yeah.
That's the TV lineup, but they've also got Murray Walker on board. I think Five Live did an interview with him, and we've got a clip of him telling us what he's going to do.
Okay.
Well, I'm not going to have anything to do with the actual Sunday race coverage, but they're going to send a camera to my home on the Monday after each race, and I'm going to review the race which happened the day before and give my opinion on how the cars and how the drivers and how the politics and everything else went, and then I'll be having a look at the race that's coming up next, and I'll be dealing with listeners' questions. I'll try and cope about 10 or 12 of them.
So the BBC haven't even obtained the rights to F1 yet, because ITV still have them to the end of the year, and already they're kicking ITV's backside by bringing in Murray.
Yeah.
I love it. The announcements are already coming out. They've got a better team than ITV, and they've got Murray Walker, and they're going to send a camera to his house after every race.
That's brilliant. We do have to reserve judgment until we've seen it in action. But it sounds amazing.
I love the idea that they're already bringing in fans' questions and they're already covering that angle. I'd like to see them do it during a race weekend as well as after the race weekend, but it's a good step in the right direction.
That's all the news this week. We've got to take a short break, but we will return with tales from someone's factory tour. Dropio is a place for people to get together and share links, files, images and audio. Visit drop.io/typepodcast for Formula One related submissions gathered by us and you to share with other like-minded individuals. If you've found something that you think we should see, be it an Excel spreadsheet, a PDF document or an embed from another site, post it to dropio/typepodcast. And while you're there, take a look around, there's always something new. This week, you were very lucky and got invited to a Red Bull factory tour, didn't you?
I was just looking in the live comments to see if either Dan or Ian were around, because it would have been nice to get them on the show to join us here, because otherwise it's going to be a rather one-sided conversation.
Yeah.
But yes, Ian from Racing Bulls very kindly invited the both of us to go on a factory tour that he was organising with Red Bull. Unfortunately, you were unable to attend due to work commitments.
Yep.
So I just went without you.
Yep.
Not really bothered.
Don't care, do you?
Not at all. Dan from the Red Bull Log was also there, who we've spoken to on the show before. I think we interviewed him at Silverstone, didn't we?
Yep.
And a merry time was had by all. It was a fantastic day. We started off as you really have to when you're in Milton Keynes, by visiting Mark Webber's pub.
Yay, we've been there.
We went there once already this year.
Did anyone eat Mark Webber?
Nobody had a slice of Mark Webber, as far as I'm aware.
I am disappointed.
I think there were about, I think it was about seven people joined us for lunch, which was very cool because we had plenty of time to kill. We had our food and it was still sort of, you know, we had another half an hour before it was ready to go. We were ready to go to the factory. So we just sat around discussing Formula One because everybody was a Formula One fan. Everybody was Red Bull Racing fans. And it was a really nice way to spend the afternoon just chatting about Formula One.
Don't do that much in real life. Talk to actual people about Formula
One. No, normally we talk to a microphone.
It's very virtual.
Yeah, and occasionally on the panel, we have a number of people on the panel, but this was a large table full of Formula One fans discussing Formula One, surrounded by Mark Webber memorabilia.
Very cool.
Mm.
So then you went to the factory, and didn't you say you could see it from like a mile away?
It's easy to spot,
yeah,
to be honest with you, due to the fact that it's in an industrial estate, which obviously traditionally has a bunch of grey buildings.
Yeah, lots of lorries.
Mm. But the car park is packed. I mean, they have a serious problem with parking. They have way too many staff for the space they have. So there's cars just parked on the grass all around. And behind the sea of cars is a great big blue building that stands out a mile with a gigantic red and yellow bull on it. It's hard to miss.
Yeah.
If you were accidentally walking
past. It sounds
like
the thing of nightmares. It's a massive bull.
If you didn't expect it to be there, you definitely have to do a double take. I'm surprised there aren't a lot of accidents at that junction.
Did you get lots of free Red Bull?
It seems to be that visitors are allowed free Red Bull.
Yeah.
But also all the staff appear to survive on it too.
Really?
So in every office space, in every area, there's gigantic cans, which is like maybe 4 foot high by a foot wide, gigantic Red Bull oversized cans full of more Red Bull cans.
I think I might want to work there.
Mm. I can see you fitting in well. You've got the normal Red Bull, the sugar-free Red Bull, and the Red Bull Cola, and they're all for free all day, as much as you can drink.
And Red Bulletins as well.
For visitors, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they encourage the staff to read the Red Bulletins because they wouldn't get much done. I imagine it's a highly productive workforce, though, all caffeinated up.
Yeah, they work really quickly.
They don't get much sleep.
When you came home and told me all about it, it kind of sounded to me like what we were expecting from the Honda Open Day.
It was, actually.
Because that was rubbish, but you sounded like you had a good day.
Inside the factory, they have the similar amount of equipment and similar size and shaped equipment as Honda. But the difference between this factory and the Honda visit was somebody actually explained what they did and the machines were running. With the Honda Open Day, everything was switched off and roped off and you could just look at it and you had to use your imagination of what the machine was actually trying to do.
Yeah.
Whereas this time,
We thought one of them was a massive, you know, like you get at the fair, a big claw that you pick up toys with.
It did look like the crane machine.
Yeah.
It's not a crane machine. It's for moving three objects in three dimensionals very, very accurately.
See, now you know that.
Yeah, because I could see it in action as somebody explained it to me. Our guide, I forget his name. I think it might be David. Our guide David was, he explained everything in a lot of detail. We weren't allowed to take too many pictures, which was unfortunate because a lot
That's
of it's
understandable,
top
though.
Yeah, they're working on the 2009 car and a lot of things we weren't supposed to look at and we couldn't really see. As well as our guide, we were also followed around by an Austrian media guy. I think he appeared to be, we weren't entirely sure who he was, and he just kind of tagged on the tour, but also...
Well, they are an Austrian company, so that would make sense.
Yeah, he was wandering around and he was filming everything. So I'm assuming he had the ability to do that. He had a video camera and he was...
TV program, maybe?
It was a very small camera, but he might have been sighting up some shots or something. He looked professional. He looked like he knew what he was supposed to be doing, but we never found out his name. We were also followed or joined by a friend of Tony Oliuzzi. Again, not entirely sure what his name was, but...
Friend of Oliuzzi? Or did they just say that? Well, yeah, I'm totally friends with Lietzi. Don't worry about it.
Everybody knew who he was. He seemed quite friendly.
Was he a driver?
Yeah, well, I think he was an F3 driver.
Right.
And he might have shared a flat with Lietzi. What was slightly weird...
That's more believable, it's got to be said.
Yeah, I thought it was slightly peculiar because Lietzi is now obviously driving at Force India. So I guess no one told this guy. He seems to be... He didn't get that memo. He's a bit behind. What was really bizarre is they spoke very highly in a presentation of Lietzi.
Who did? Red Bull?
Yeah, the guys doing the presentation, they basically, you know, they appear to be big fans of him. He is a Red Bull driver, I presume he still is. At some point, I'm wondering if he won't make a comeback to that team.
Ooh.
Although this driver guy, who I think we should give a name like Bob or something, because I can't for the life of me remember what it was. But Bob said, or he alluded to the fact that Liuzzi had a drive guaranteed at Force India in 2010.
Now, right, because at the moment he's testing,
yeah,
and they reckon he's going to move up, so he won't come back to Red Bull then.
Don't know. I don't know where he got that information from, and, you know, watch this space and we'll find out if it's true, but at the moment it looks like Liuzzi for Force India.
You did come back with a picture, a close-up of the Faces for Charity car, with Ian from RacingBulls.net, his actual face on
it. Yes, he knew where he was.
Where's mine?
You were on the Mark Webber car.
Is that not there?
I couldn't find you, no. Aww. First time I've ever got close to that Faces for Charity car, though. And it's a shame that it's on the inside of a factory and not somewhere where people can go up and look at it closely, because it's really nice, it's really unique. And it's a wonderful, promotional tool that they really should have somewhere on display where you can get up close and personal. But yeah, I did find Ian's picture. First person I've ever found on that car that
you knew.
Yeah.
That's excellent. What other cars did you see?
Well, there was some 2009 bits. So right. We saw
any massive wings?
No. Oh. Nothing ugly.
Right.
We
well,
didn't
that's
see
good.
Anything ugly.
We did say the only team that aren't going to be ugly in 2009 is likely to be Red Bull.
Yes. At the moment, it doesn't look too bad, but then we didn't see all the bits.
That's true. It's early days, isn't it?
And there's some things I just can't talk about because I'd have to kill you.
Yeah.
One thing I was going to mention, which I didn't know, is they had some stripped-down show cars in the preparation base, and there was a Red Bull and a Toro Rosso. So the first thing of interest is the Toro Rosso gets prepared at the Red Bull factory.
So these are the cars that they take to like Goodwood and stuff?
Yeah, anything that runs up and down a hill or does a demonstration in the streets, like I think Renault are doing this week in Brazil,
yeah.
I believe. So show cars, they're a different spec because I think it's the RB1, so they're very old. They're old chassis, but they have the new liveries on them.
Right.
They had the big fin, even though the fin never existed on the RB1.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that the Toro Rosso machines get built at the Red Bull factory. But the other thing that I didn't realise is the show cars have their own fans. You know how a Formula One car can't idle? It can't sit at the end of the pit lane for very long because it would explode.
About a minute.
Yeah. With show car demonstrations, cars can't go very fast and they can't be self-cooled. So they have... They've managed to fit, and I'm not quite sure how they've done this, but they've managed to fit these extra fans on the engine to keep it cool, and it's a self-cooled engine.
Well, that's amazing.
Bit of information for you. There's pictures on Flickr if you're interested in seeing what they've done and exactly where the fans fit and how they've plugged it all together. But we saw them stripped down, and we could get a really close look at how it all fitted together. And that was interesting. I learned a lot on that.
So really, the demo cars are nothing like the real cars.
Well, they're really old.
They're old, and they've got massive fans in them.
Yes. Yes, I presume they sound like the real thing.
Yeah,
but
they look a little bit like them.
Yeah. One of the guys also explained why it's so hard. You know how you can go to you can watch classic Formula One races, so historical Formula One races, like you can see
like what we saw at GP Live.
Exactly what we saw at GP Live. So I forget exactly what the name of it is. There's an FIA sanctioned racing series where you get things like Martin Brundle's old car racing against Nigel Mansell's old car. Because
right.
People can buy these cars and they can do them up and they can manage them and mechanics can keep them going and they can look after them and keep them racing as they should do. Apparently, you're not going to get that with Formula One cars these days because the level of detail that you need to do to keep a Formula One car on the go these days, it's impossible for any normal human being to do that.
Well, it's all like plugged into laptops and all that stuff.
It's also beyond that. I mean, what they were saying is they run... They run analysis on every single part as soon as the car comes back in from a test. So as soon as the car's finished doing a run, they'll run an analysis on the front suspension to make sure the wishbone hasn't been weakened, for example, which you couldn't do if you owned that car yourself. Every time you parked the car, you got out and you got a stethoscope and all these technical bits and you went around the car to make sure that nothing was
broken. It'd be
a
full-time job.
Yeah, it's a full-time job for a team of many, many people requiring lots and lots of logs of data and stuff. So what we're really saying is that Formula One cars now... as you see them race, is the only time you'll ever see them race. They can never be owned or raced in the future. It's too complicated. Ferrari have some kind of system where you can buy one and they'll give you a team to manage it. But as cars get more and more...
I bet that's expensive.
Oh, it's really expensive. You can only race it on certain days at certain tracks. And it's there's a lot of limitations to it. But the more this goes on, the more technical the Formula One gets, the less likely it is that anyone's going to be able to own one in the future.
In the comments, Scott said it's called the FIA Thoroughbred Grand Prix Series.
There you go. It's something like that. But whatever it is, the cars, once they break, I presume they're going to be gone. And they're not going to be replaced by anything because there's no way of replacing them with modern day Formula One cars.
So talking of the complications of running an F1 car, didn't you see massive computers?
There was a supercomputer. I don't really know. How would you describe it? It's probably the length of a tennis court.
What?
Yeah.
That's massive.
Racks and racks and racks and racks of machines doing computational fluid dynamic analysis.
Oh, very good.
And it's about we couldn't see how far back it went. I'm guessing it's not quite the width of a tennis court, but it's big. I had my small tiny little netbook EPC, the one we use for the parade lap, with
yeah.
me, and I kind of wanted to hold it up to it and say, one day, son, you'll be this big. But they wouldn't let me. That might be cool. This tiny little netbook and this massive supercomputer. It's just impossible to describe how many lights were blinking and flashing and working away on it. The offices upstairs where the people were using the machine, it's just, I can't really explain it, but it's rows and rows and rows of desktops. It's basically, as far as you can see, as wide as the largest office you've ever seen, and everybody's working all in one room. And then you have a number of smaller rooms behind where we actually saw Adrian Newey drawing.
The actual Adrian Newey?
Yeah.
Did he have his briefcase?
Not the briefcase that we saw him with at Silverstone, but he was working, he was the only man I saw that didn't have a laptop somewhere near him.
What did he have?
Just a pencil and a ruler, a very, very big ruler. And a big one, a drawing board, kind of
like architects have,
like an A1 size drawing board. Yeah, and he was just like sketching things out and drawing stuff
with a pencil.
I have no idea how he gets on the computer. He must get somebody technical in and say, like, this is what I've drawn, this is what I want, now go and make it, you know, technically. It was quite amazing. It's like he's in a completely different world.
How old school.
Yeah, he's one of the only people who's not in the main room, and he's in a different world altogether. He has his own little office with a big sketchbook on it. I do have to say thank you to Ian for organising the tour, because it was wonderful. I'm so sorry you missed out on it. I think you enjoyed it. And
it was quite funny because he sent the email to me originally because you're anonymous.
Yes.
And I said, oh, I can't go. So I forwarded it to you.
Yeah.
And you emailed back going, please, 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 can I come? Please, please, please let me go.
If I recall, you didn't check your mail for about 3 days. So I thought I was too late and I thought I'd missed it. And luckily there was room and a good time was had by all. I think you can find, there's more pictures of the tour on Flickr. May write an event post about it at some point in the future. There's just too much. We were given too much information in too short a space of time to really take it all in. We were bombarded by facts and stuff that I've never, you know, could never have known, would never have known. It's just too much to take in. But thank you to Ian and to everybody who was on the tour, because everybody was lovely and they're all very nice people.
Feedback. This week I had a massive email from DP, introducing himself and filling us in on how difficult it is to be an F1 fan in the States.
Okay.
Which we know it is, and it really is.
And DP joined the wiki as well this week, I saw.
Yes, certainly becoming part of the community.
Okay.
This is part of the email. I latched on to Lewis because what he was doing was so unprecedented. Best car on the grid or not, he is truly gifted. Granted, we don't get the coverage that you get there, but I don't see the cocky attitude with Lewis that everyone seems to hate. I really wish that we could get an American driver over there. I rediscovered F1 just after Scott Speed left. He's now middle of the pack in NASCAR. But I'm afraid that without a USGP and with the early morning race times, no audience, it's never going to happen.
We should be careful there, because we got accused this week of being too pro-Lewis.
I know, can you believe it?
Which is a first for us.
I really like your show, but I just wish you would drop the Hamilton and McLaren bias.
Right.
But for the best part of this year, we've been told off for being anti-Hamilton. You just can't win.
You've got to be really careful. So that's not our words, that's DP words.
Yes.
DP's words. But no, I can see what he's saying, and I can see why. I'm surprised that you get into it just after Scott Speed left, actually.
I don't think Scott Speed really waved the flag, did he?
He didn't. He had no influence on the US audience whatsoever. But thank you for that, DP.
We also had a response to your comment, was it last week, about whether there are any Force India fans left in India.
And would you, if you're a Formula One fan, would you actually support Force India? Because personally, I wouldn't want to support a team who are based in Woking and Silverstone.
Yeah. Well, there was a comment left. It was in a bit of a random place, but we assume it was to do with this topic.
Yep.
It was from Kabir Kumar, I hope I said that right, and he said, I want to join Force India because I live fast and I like fast riding.
Okay, so it's not made any difference at all, the fact that they've effectively changed chassis and almost entirely changed ownership. So that's good in some ways. I don't understand that,
I would imagine
I am proved wrong.
It must mean that VJ has a good fan base.
Yes. Well, that's good. That's true. He obviously was a lot more power, yes.
Although I did want to say, if you want to live fast and fast ride, you want to choose someone other than Force India.
Well, you don't know next year. They could be top of the pack, could be top of the heap, could be Ferrari, McLaren, Force India. You never know. I can't wait for them to start beating McLaren. That's going to upset the apple cart, isn't it? Housekeeping. I was slightly stunned when I received a letter in the mail this week.
A letter?
Hmm. And that wasn't what stunned me. I do get letters sometimes.
By Royal Mail?
Yeah, the postman delivered it as well. He didn't steal it or nothing. From Williams. And it said, we're very sorry, but the fan club that you joined in January is going to be closing for a couple of months, and therefore we're going to refund you all of your money. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but this doesn't seem like a very sensible way to run a fan club, and if they're basing their Formula One team on this kind of accounts management, I'm not surprised that they're in so much financial difficulty.
So they refunded you the whole year because they're closing for a couple of months.
Yeah, I would have just kept the fan club going for a couple of months and then closed it in January.
What exactly? Are they closing it forever?
No.
What exactly do they do that they need to say that it's shut? Because I always thought a fan club was sort of like, I'm a member of the fan club, but you don't really do much.
Well, there's a website which they're going to redesign. And okay. As far as I can tell, I've read it a couple of times and I don't think I've missed out on anything. That's all they're doing. They're just redesigning the website. And as a result, they're returning all of my money.
I find that odd because firstly, I wouldn't return people's money.
No.
And secondly, if I was going to be nice and honest about it, I'd return the 2 months' money, not the whole year.
I haven't been unhappy with the fan club. I didn't demand my money back.
No.
They gave when I joined, they gave me a cog, mentioned on the show.
Yeah.
And now I have a free cog. I actually have a piece of a Williams Formula One car, which was donated as part of my fan club subscription, which they've refunded, but they haven't asked for the cog back. So free cog. I can't complain, but I don't know how the hell they're going to make the books balance. I'm trying to help them out by joining them and giving them my money to help them because I want them to do better. They're giving it back to me.
We wrote a post recently about the countries that the people who signed up to our Fantasy Racers League, where they came from.
Mm.
And it was, as you would expect, USA, UK, Canada, all those quite high up the list.
English-speaking nations featured higher than other nations.
So we were trying to make the argument that Bernie should pay attention because the highest proportion was the USA.
Yes, and Canada followed closely, and Bernie's ignoring both of those.
And he needs to pay attention. Mm. But then we thought about it a bit more, and we discovered that some people had said none as their country.
Right.
And we were like, ha-ha, where do they come from then?
Were they embarrassed about where they live?
We don't know. But then Danny came along from the actual Fantasy Racers, Danny from Fantasy Racers, and he said that a lot of people just pick the prettiest flag.
Right.
Which throws our argument completely out the water.
So Canada may have the prettiest flag.
Yeah.
Right, so therefore they're getting more sign-up. That's interesting. There's no basis for an argument there then, is there?
No.
Bernie's not going to believe us.
And so we said, well, if we designed a flag, could we put it on there if it was pretty? And he said, yeah, sure. Now, I don't actually believe him.
Right.
But we'd quite like people to design flags.
We could do with a flag anyway.
Yeah.
I think Side Podcast needs a pretty flag.
Side Podland.
Hmm. So what are we asking to do? We're asking for flag designs.
Just if you feel like it, design a flag. You never know.
What do you think it should represent?
Side Podland.
Which is what?
Us and the land.
See, I thought a map of the earth would work because it's just every country. It's like an all-encompassing flag
the
for
world.
Everyone. Yeah, the world flag. Something along those lines might be suitable, although it is very small on the page, so you'd be hard to make it out.
I think. Just looked like a dot.
Yeah, it might have to be quite bold. But if you're a designer, if you've got ideas and you fancy designing a flag, I mean, how often does anybody ask you to design a flag? For the world, let's be honest.
Not for the world, for Side Podland.
For Side Podland, okay. An all-encompassing flag that includes every single nation, every single country that listens to us.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that's rare.
It doesn't happen very often in your lifetime, does
no.
it?
No. So we're asking you, if you've got time and some design skills, to maybe help us design a flag or contribute ideas as to what should be on the flag.
So, in the comments, Lou's just said, doesn't that imply that you own the world if you put the world on your flag? That's a good point.
But that could get us into trouble, couldn't
it? Yeah.
Yes. Someone was suggesting that earlier in the week that Bernie should run a race on Mars.
Oh, yes.
So maybe we should...
Because we've been talking about the shuttle.
Mm, so maybe we should have a map of Mars on there.
Right.
I'd imagine that would be quite dull to look at.
Does that mean that you own Mars? See, it's a tricky, subject.
Well, someone's got to own it.
You're staking your claim on Mars.
Why not?
There's some new stuff on F1 Minute.
Yes.
It's very cool.
Yes, although we had a bit of an ongoing debate on Identica about this during the week, and you and Ollie beat me. And
well,
so
the thing is,
I have mixed feelings about this new content.
You wouldn't, you can't blame anyone for not having spotted it, because I don't imagine that many people go to the website.
Right. Well, no, I mean, there's lots of downloads of the show, but a lot of them are from the embedded player.
Yeah.
Which appears all over the web.
Or on iTunes.
Yeah. So it may not be the most traffic site in the world, and therefore you requested, and Ollie requested, that the new items appear in the feed.
Yeah.
Which they now do.
Yep.
Now, I personally find it a bit noisy, so I'd like people's feedback. Does anybody support me?
Well, you say that because you already... It's Delicious Links.
Yeah.
So news stories that you should probably check out if
sure.
you haven't already. It's... an Identica feed,
which
so
is
you
like
get
up
the news,
to the minute news
in short,
breaking news,
and we also have press releases, which are sort of used as a backup
yep.
for F1 Minute stories.
Yeah.
So you already subscribe to the Identica feed and the Delicious feed separately, and that's why you think it's noisy.
It's duplicate content. It's stuff I've already read, but a day later.
And I don't.
I'd
think...
rather not have it in the feed.
I don't think that many people will subscribe to things separately if they can get it all in one.
Okay, as a digest version. Okay, so if you're interested in that kind of thing, check out f1minute.com and do let us know whether or not you think the RSS feed is a bit noisy. And if you support me or Christine.
Support me, I think. But also, it should be noted that it looks a bit weird at the moment.
Mm.
That all this new content doesn't necessarily fit.
No.
But it is going to be getting a redesign shortly.
When we have time.
I say shortly, I mean at some point, somewhere in the future.
Yeah.
No promises.
When we're less busy.
Yeah.
Talking of which, no show next week. Because we are busy.
We're super busy.
But what we're asking for, which I mentioned last week, and I still haven't done a post on it, so we'll do tomorrow, is we're asking for your 2008 season reviews in audio.
Yes, we've had some brilliant ones.
Yeah, next Friday, well, this coming Friday is the deadline by the time this show goes out. This coming Friday is the deadline. And we'd like anything, any of your thoughts, however long or however short, however deep or however shallow, we'd like to hear them on what you thought of the 2008 season, and we'll put them all together and make a mega mix. And it may go out next week or maybe the week after, but there will be no show next week. So if you're bored and you've got some time to kill, put your thoughts down into a microphone or call us on Skype 012128 87225. Leave your thoughts and we'll munch them all together and make a really cool mega mix out of it.